Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Well, definitely wasn't that spectacular tonight. So, you know, this is a funny story. You know, I have a cookbook called Fixate. It's a cookbook full of healthy recipes. And there's a recipe in it for ice cream. What you do is you peel a banana, freeze the banana, and then when you're ready to use it, you take it out the freezer. Well, obviously, you chop it up, then freeze it. You take it out of the freezer. You put the banana in the blender. Then you put a couple tablespoons of peanut butter in the blender. And then some almond milk to, if you want a little less creamy. And, you know, then you put some dark chocolate nibs in it and some almonds when you're done. And make, you know, it sounds good. Well, I decided to try it today. Well, lesson I learned, before you plug your blender in, make sure it's turned off first. Or make sure the top is on it before you plug it in. Because I didn't check it, didn't pay much attention to it. I threw the banana in there, put the blender part on the base, and then I plugged it in. And the button on the base must have got bumped or something, because I'm pretty sure I turned it off after I made my Shakeology this morning. But let's just say cleaning up banana from all over the counter is not a lot of fun. So, moral of the story, make sure your blender's turned off before plugging it in, because you make a mess that you don't really want to clean up. The good news is, you know, I was able to salvage most of the banana that blew out of there because, you know, my counter's clean and all. But it turned out pretty good. It was more pudding-ish than ice cream-ish. But, you know, that's how we learn. We got to learn by experimenting a little bit. So next time I'll make it even better. But, yeah, just wasn't a lot of fun cleaning the banana off all over the kitchen. That's all I do, guys. So I appreciate being called spectacular, but I definitely wasn't spectacular this evening when I was trying to make that banana ice cream. So I'm going to throw it back to you. How are things going out in Western PA?
Well, probably a lot better than you. I didn't have to be cleaning no banana off my counter today. So just an average day out in Western PA, a little bit of thunderstorms. I thought we were going to lose power a little bit later tonight, but the storms are done over. Now it's nice, just a calm evening. We get to talk some sports tonight, but yeah, just an average day out here. And I will remember your tip, Evan, about the blender. I use the blender often. I like to make some milkshakes every once in a while. I'm going to triple check my blender next time I use it, because I would hate to clean up ice cream all over my kitchen counter. But we're going to talk Olympics tonight, Evan. We have touched on it a little bit over the course of the last week or so. And literally, Evan, the United States running away with medals galore. 84 in all, 28 gold, 28 silver, 28 bronze. A lot of great things going on in the Olympics. You know, I put in the preview. You know, you get this power countries, United States, Great Britain, you know, the big countries with deep pockets and beautiful training facilities and year-round training and state-of-the-art facility. I really like watching the Olympics when these small countries are represented and they actually win a medal. And you see the look on these athletes' faces when they're on the podium or when they win the race or they win their event. And you can just tell the jubilation that these athletes thing against. You want to see the United States win gold and win medals all the time. But if they're going to lose out, I'd like them to see them lose to one of those countries, smaller countries, where these athletes really have paid a price, don't have these state-of-the-art facilities, and for them, that means everything. I mean, and don't get me wrong, it means everything in the world to those other countries. But you see, I put in the preview, a little country like, I don't even know how to say it, Kosovo, that won a medal in judo. I mean, that's probably the only medal they're going to win. They send a few players to the Olympics. And that's what I like about the Olympics. Now, there's a lot of great members for the U.S. But what are your thoughts there, Evan, when you're watching the Olympics and you see some of these small countries and these athletes from smaller countries win medals? What are your thoughts?
Well, you brought up Kosovo, and it is very great seeing Kosovo win a gold. Not too long ago, I think early to mid-90s, that region of Kosovo, that Serbia, Yugoslavia, that area, they were in civil war. You know, we had a U.S. force, NATO peacekeepers in Kosovo trying to keep the peace. And, you know, there's a very, I think ESPN 30 for 30 did a special kind of about that a little bit. I think it was 30 for 30, where you got people that were, you know, basically brothers that are now competing against, you know, fighting against one another, kind of, you know, basically at war with one another. So, you know, it is great seeing Kosovo, you know, get a gold. Shows just how far they've come, you know, a country that's pretty much been torn apart by war. And a lot of these small countries, especially from the former Soviet Union, you know, they were torn apart at the seams in some regard. So it is great seeing them have some success. You know, obviously I root for the U.S. to win a majority of it, you know, the medals and the awards and all that, because I love seeing America do well. But I can't complain too much when you see, like, Kosovo get a medal. Now, the U.S. is dominating at the Olympics this year. They definitely are. And you look at it, you know, you want to think of the reason why they are. I think Russia only had two athletes, or maybe one athlete in track this year. The entire Russian track team, except for, I think, one or two people, got banned from the Olympics. There were a lot, you know, Russia traditionally does pretty well on the Olympic Games. But they had a lot of people banned for doping by the U.S. and, you know, by the World Anti-Doping Agency. You know, China traditionally does well, especially in gymnastics, but as, you know, Lauren Hopkins talked about when she was on the show, that China's down this year. They don't have as strong of a team as they've had in the past. You know, Great Britain generally has a pretty strong team, but, you know, just the U.S. just seems to be running away with it. And it's impressive to see. You know, Michael Phelps is just incredible. Katie Ledecky, just incredible. Incredible athlete. She's the Michael Phelps of women's swimming. The gymnast, Allie Rossman and Simone, and, you know, those young ladies have just been incredible. You know, it's just been great to see. And the one thing I kind of have an issue with, Allyson Felix, she ended up getting silver in her event yesterday. And the person that got gold, she basically took a dive over the, you know, over the finish line. Like, she didn't run through. She left her feet, and I don't know if she was falling or just jumped, but she, like, pretty much left her feet to get through the finish line before Allyson Felix did. That was Felix's race to win, and she basically trips, and I don't know if she tripped or fell or just, like, tried to dive over the finish line, but to me, you shouldn't get a gold medal like that. That's very cheap to do. And, you know, Allyson Felix took it like a champ. And I think the other very disappointing thing with the Olympics is just the women's soccer team, their loss early on. And just Hope Solo's reaction to the U.S. team losing. She, rather than, you know, congratulating the team that won, which I get it, she's angry. And if that's the case, she shouldn't have said anything. But she calls the other team cowards. Like, really? They're cowards because they beat you? They're cowards? Why are they cowards, Hope? Why? I just didn't get that. But overall, that's I'm not letting that, I'm not going to let that, take away from all the positive that we've seen in the Olympic Games. And, one the biggest positive to me is Allie Rossman gets a silver, but she was more excited for her teammate getting the gold medal than she was the silver. And her teammate was more excited for Allie getting the silver than she wasn't getting the gold. That just shows you just how close-knit the softball team, the volleyball team, the gymnastics team for the U.S. Olympic team. That's why I shouldn't read and talk at the same time. But anyways, just a lot of positive things, Troy, coming out of these Olympics so far.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what I like tonight for the first time ever. And it's hard to believe, first time ever, Evan, that the U.S. finally medaled in the women's 1500 meter. Jenny Simpson was the first U.S. woman ever to win a medal in the 1500 meter. I actually watched the race, and to see her reaction at the end, that's purely what the Olympics are about. She gave out a big scream after and pumped her fist. And then you talk about sportsmanship. I don't know who this runner was, but it wasn't one of the top finishers. It was, I think, somebody that finished behind her that came up, and you could see that the tears in her eyes and what they're whispering and the words thank you coming out of her mouth. To be able to do that, that is the pure Olympic spirit in my mind right there. And I watched that race, and it was nice to see. But it was hard for me to believe when they said first ever women's medal in the 1500 meter. And you think about the domination that the United States has had in the Summer Olympics, Evan. They won in this Olympics. They won their 1,000th ever gold medal. 1,000 gold medals. And I think the closest is like 300. So they're like 700 gold medals ahead of the second place team, which I think is the defunct Soviet Union. But to never have won a medal in the 1500 meters, and you think over the course of history that it would have happened one other time, never medaled. And that, I thought that was a great story. And then just to see her reaction at the end. And, the U.S. is going to probably add some more medals as we move forward from here till the end of the Olympics. But you're absolutely right. A lot of great storylines. And how do you argue with Phelps, Michael Phelps, the most decorated swimmer, Evan? This guy, just literally a beast in the pool. And I know that he said he's retired. And, after 28 total medals, I mean, what more is there for him to accomplish in the arena of swimming? I mean, he is just dominating, and not only himself, but I really got into the swimming events this year at the Olympics, partly because of Phelps and seeing if he was going to win more medals. But with men's and women's swimming, Evan, I believe it, when I looked at it before the show, 15 total medals, gold medals, I think it was, or 15 medals, I think, total. That's a lot of medals. That just shows a lot for the swimming program. I know the big storyline was women's gymnastics coming into the Olympics, and they didn't disappoint. They crushed the competition in the team all around, have taken some medals in the individual events. But I think swimming kind of got overlooked a little bit because, let's face it, kind of like gymnastics, Evan, how much do you watch swimming in the 4 years prior to the Olympics? I didn't watch one swimming event until the Olympics. But I was really intrigued with the success of the swimming events in the United States. And the other event I watched tonight that I really was intrigued with was the high jump. I've never really watched the high jump before. I know of the high jump, but it's amazing, Evan, how these guys can bend their body and women to get over this bar that is going close to 8 feet high. Can you imagine, Evan, running as fast as you can, jumping, and then going over a little bar that's like 8 feet up in the air. I literally would hurt myself. I know you land on a mat, but I would hurt myself. So did you get a chance to watch any of the high jump?
No, I didn't get a chance to watch any of it, but yeah, I'm definitely impressed by people that do the high jump. I hate heights. I don't mind heights when I can, when I can grab onto stuff, but I could never do a roof of the house because it's slanted, and I definitely could never do the high jump. The pole vault is, I guess, what I'm thinking of. I could never do that just for how high it is in the air at the high jump. Well, I can't jump that high. I just really can't. I'm a big guy. Yes, I've dropped 100 pounds since 2012 and all, but I'm still kind of a big guy. So both the pole vault and the high jump are two things that just aren't in my future plans.
Well, you know, maybe you should put that on your bucket list, because I know you're doing a great job of dropping the weight. Maybe one day that'll kind of be like that bucket list to have somebody teach you how to high jump when you get to the weight that you want to get to. And it doesn't have to be 8 feet. I mean, I just look at it, though, the way that they run, that the sideways run, and then they take the correct angle to the bar, and just the way that they have to, in midair, just move and maneuver their body to get over the bar, because, I mean, if any part of your body hits that bar, more than likely you're going to knock it off of the stand. So, I mean, there's, I believe, a lot of athleticism that goes into that event. It's not just jumping over a bar. I think there's, you know, a lot that goes on. You know, they were talking about gravity and you know, resistance and different things like that. And I'm sure there's a lot of training that goes in and the speed to the bar and the perfect jump. But I was impressed because, you know, you're pushing close to 8 feet. And the announcer today on the Olympics said it's like jumping over Shaquille O'Neal and add 6 inches. And I had to giggle a little bit when he said that. So, Evan, you know, when I'm looking overall at these events and we're looking at the Summer Olympics as a whole, and all the great stories that go on, one thing that, you know, when I look at it, you brought up some of the things that kind of irked you. But overall, I think with everything that's been going on in the world and all of the things that are in the world news and things that, for humanity's sake, can really be disturbing. I think this has been a very good event to really bring people together in one place and to use the word have fun and really show that in the spirit of competition that really everybody in the world could get along. I mean, you got people from all around the world, and I've seen every event outside of Hope Solo and her stupid comment, and I'll call it stupid. I know some people hate the word stupid, but that was stupid. But in most events, Evan, that I've watched, it has been gracious winners. It has been gracious losers and congratulating the winners. And I think it just goes to show that there can be that camaraderie amongst nations if we wanted it to be there. So I just wanted to throw that out because I really, you know, I was thinking about that as I watched it tonight and all the things that have been going on in the news and in the world. It's nice to be able to have that common ground for everyone in the world to have their eyes on the same thing at the same time, which I think is pretty neat.
Yeah. And, you know, for an Olympic Games, and I was very concerned with going into it that it was going to be a complete and utter disaster. Because if you look at, you know, everything leading up to the Olympics, the water where they're going to do like the rowing and stuff, those events were dirty. The water is polluted. The drinking water is contaminated in Rio. The crime rate is high in Rio. There are a lot of concern in general that these games would be unsafe. And I said it, that I was worried that these games would be unsafe for the athletes that were there. And I was worried that something bad was going to happen. Not necessarily 1972 Munich bad, but I thought something bad was going to happen. And so far, knock on wood, because the games aren't over yet, it's been a very quiet game. Games. There hasn't been too many issues at all. And as you said, most of the losers have been very classy. The winners have been very classy. And, you know, I do got to tip my hat to Usain Bolt. You know, he was giving an interview after a race, and there was an American that won the gold medal, and he's talking to the reporter, and he hears the U.S. national anthem start, and he quickly stops the interview, turns around, and stands at attention during the playing of the national anthem. So that I really liked seeing. The one thing I didn't like seeing a whole lot is when Gabby Douglas won the gold, when the U.S. won gold in a team all around, and Gabby Douglas didn't place her hand over her heart. People were, like, getting all outraged over it. Well, the thing is, there's no required etiquette to place your hand over your heart during the playing of the national anthem. People do it, but it's not a required etiquette. You're supposed to, if you have a cap on your head, remove the cap, and you're supposed to stand at attention and face the flag. That's the required required etiquette for the playing of the national anthem. The placing the hand over the heart, the requirement there is when you're doing the Pledge of Allegiance. So I think, you know, people were overreacting for no reason. They were just getting outraged for no reason. They just wanted to get outraged to get outraged. But, you know, I other than just the small little things here and there all around it, great Olympics, and I just got to tip my hat to Rio for putting the games on.
Yeah, I'm gonna touch on what you're saying about the national anthem, because I've never put my hand over my heart during the national anthem, Evan. I coached many games where the national anthem was played, and I took my hat off, and I would always put my hands behind my back. And I think people can kind of visualize that. And I would clasp my wrists, one hand on the other wrist, with my hat in the hand. And like you said, standing attention to the flag. Some of my players would put their hand on their heart, some wouldn't. It's not a big deal to me. As long as you are paying attention to the flag, and like you said, standing attention, facing the flag, and that is the etiquette. So I'm with you. I heard that, and my first thought is, really, people, you have nothing better to rip on. It's just human nature, Evan. People want to get upset about something, and that was one thing and a very little thing. So, I mean, if that happened, I guess I should have got ripped every game I coached when the national anthem was played. So, there's always going to be people that find something, but like you said, in the games itself, there was a lot of concern coming into the games, and I think they have so far, and like you, knock on wood, have been very successful. And I think it has been an enjoyable Summer Olympics for me to watch. The neat thing, Evan, is this Olympics, of course, at night when I come home, I get to watch a lot of it because it's on TV. So I really enjoyed being able to watch the Olympics. And as I alluded to early in the show, I really enjoy seeing the underdogs, those teams and countries that send 3-4 players and they actually get a chance to fulfill their dream of winning an Olympic medal. You know, so if the U.S. isn't going to win, I'm always hoping that one of those small countries and those individuals that have basically given their life to have that opportunity win the gold, and it's great to see. But with that said, buddy, I'm looking at the time. 30 minutes is up. Can't really get into another subject today. I do know we have a great guest coming on the show, so before we end tonight, I'm going to let you tell the audience what we got planned coming up later this week.
Yeah, so I, you know, WWE has one of their big four, as they call them, pay-per-views coming up on Sunday, SummerSlam. You know, they have what, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. That's their considered their big four. And they have their pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. And I, you know, a gentleman I follow on Twitter, I followed him for a while, former professional wrestler, David Hero, who does work for Pro Wrestling Review Show, or Pro Wrestling Report, I mean, does work with them. He's co-host on that show. And he's founder of the Blizzard Brawl. And just, you know, he's a great follow on Twitter. You can follow him at David Hero, H-E-R-R-O. And he's going to be on the show tomorrow, talk about SummerSlam, card, the people competing at SummerSlam, and talk about the current direction of professional wrestling at the moment. You know, professional wrestling has changed since, since probably, over the last 30-some-odd years, professional wrestling has changed quite a bit, and we're going to talk to him about the current direction of the business and see just where he thinks right now where the business is at. So it should be a very exciting show. Going to be our usual time tomorrow night, 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern, and we're going to get his preview on SummerSlam, and you know it should be a great show. He's I've watched him on. I watched him on his Pro Wrestling Report show, and I'm just a fan of his, and I'm excited to get him on. So I'm going to throw it back to you and let the listeners go.
Yeah, and you and I were texting today, and it's I'm not an avid wrestling watcher in these days, but I used to be when I was growing up, and I grew up in the likes of, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. And so, like you mentioned, Evan, from my days of watching when I was a youth to now, tremendous change. I mean, it is just unbelievable change from when I used to watch. I'll admit, and for the loyal listeners probably know, that I don't sit down every Monday night, watch Monday Night Raw, or any of these shows that are on, but I do follow it to a sense where I know who the players are and I know some of the storylines that are going on, but I don't sit down and watch it day in and day out like I do other sports. But it'll be interesting, like you said, Evan, to be able to go back in history a little bit, because that's when I used to really watch it. And so I'll be really intrigued about being able to go back and get his thoughts there, to where we are now, and like you said, where's the future of wrestling as entertainment goes. But with that said, everyone, for Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. We'll get back at you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.